a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Committee meeting will come to order. We greet the internet listeners. We welcome those who are out in the audience today with us. Reminder to turn off your cell phones. That's the usual gig in every committee room, right? And the secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bartling,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Hawks,
here.
Johns,
here.
Kaiser,
here.
May, Ring, Schaefer, Stevens,
here.
Tolson, Tyler,
here.
Wick, Hager,
here.
Sly.
Here.
Chairman Sly, a quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Moved by Representative Hager, seconded by Schaefer. Any comments or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same sign. Minutes are approved. Pages. We have one here today, looks like. She'll be coming back. Do you want me to wait just a moment so you don't have to come up alone, or are you brave? Okay, come on up.
I'm Devin Kurtz. I'm from Delmont, and I'm a senior at Parkston High School, and next year I'm going to USD for elementary ed.
Okay. Need more teachers. Thank you for doing that, Devin. Other page. Oh, get your little duty done first here.
There you go.
Thanks.
I'm Lexi, and I go to Landrew, and next year I'm going to USD also, and I'm going to be a high school
intern. Hey, two teachers in the room. You're in the right committee here. It'll either sway you to continue or you'll say, no way. All right. Testifiers, be sure that you sign in the back podium and wear the badge for the department or agency that you are representing, or if you're speaking as an individual, just identify that. Anyone that has handouts, please hand them out through the pages. And questions will also come through the committee chair. Consideration of bills. We'll start with Senate Bill 76, an act to appropriate money to fund the education service agencies. Proponents for Senate Bill 76. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Ryan Maher, District 28, which encompasses most of northwestern South Dakota. I had the pages distributive map this morning to kind of outline the ESA districts that we'll be talking about this morning and give you an idea of what is out there. And I guess I'll start with this morning and talk a little bit of history about where the ESAs have been and how we come to where we are today and why, if you look at the map, there's 7 minus 4 equals 6, and you'll see that this ESA 4 is no longer with us. But ESAs, or educational service agencies, came about back under the Secretary Milmer years when No Child Left Behind was being developed. And it was a way to disseminate information across vast school districts, particularly, I'm going to refer to ESA 5 because that's the one I'm probably the most familiar with. But it was a way to get information out to rural schools as far as federal mandates were being concerned. And the school districts would not have to, the local school districts wouldn't have to put a full-time person on. They could contract with these ESAs for those services of implementing different professional development opportunities. And as time went on, when that was first fully funded, I think the state at one time put in about $500,000, and then there was matching money from the feds, from the federal government to go along with that. And at one time, the ESAs were receiving in as much as a little over $2 million when they were first getting started. But then through the budget cuts and everything else, ESAs were slowly dwindled away, and eventually the funding form was completely dissolved in the budget cutting rounds. And so this is an attempt to at least restore some of the funding that they were once getting. To give you an idea of what the ESAs are doing currently, and they've all been kind of, as they've been broken up and been left to their own, each one has kind of developed their own little mission statement or target areas for their particular area of the state. And if you look at how this bill has evolved through the Senate, it was amended quite substantially through the Senate process, and then originally, and then at the end, it was finally taken back to its original version. But one of the amendments that was put in the Senate Education Committee was and I serve on the Senate Ed Committee, was to add in to make it a matching grant for the ESAs to apply for funding and be able to match that with other state grants or other federal grants. But some of the areas that the ESAs are still working in and that the schools can contract with a per dollar, per day service type thing now, and they're kind of self-funded, but it's hard for them to, and you'll hear about this, hard for them to hire staff when you don't know what your consistent form of income is going to be. But some of what they still do is our research-based professional development delivered by highly trained education specialists, professional development tied to schools or districts' needs, professional development that's close to home and cut downs on the different travel. What you'll see is, especially when you get in Northwest South Dakota, a lot of the professional developments are either taking place in Rapid City, Pierre, or Sioux Falls. So if you're living in Harding County and your professional development, your teachers need training, they have to go clear to Sioux Falls, that's essentially 2 days out of the classroom, whereas you can contract with a local ESA and get that exact same service, keep that teacher in the classroom more than what they would have to if they were traveling to the different areas of the state. The professional development with the entire system, with the entire staff, and then professional developments may offer graduate or renewal credits too. With that, Madam Chair, I don't know what your intentions are today, but maybe eventually refer this on to appropriations to come up with a funding mechanism and have the policy discussion today. But with that, I have some ESA directors here who would like to talk about this, and I'll be available for questions.
Thank you. Other proponents for Senate Bill 76. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Chris Owens, and I am the Director for Education Service Agency 5. First of all, I want to start out by thanking all of you for your hard work through this session and for fighting for funding for education. Your efforts are very, very appreciated, and I want you to know that we feel that way out in the field as we battle away and struggle away as well. So thank you. The ESAs have had a great history of starting and getting out, and you saw the map to, you know, all the regions in our state. And for our particular ESA 5, you can see on your map that we probably have the fewest districts in our ESA area, 21. But as you can see, the geographical area is huge. So we have a lot of staff on the road going to schools that are in very remote areas, which has been very appreciated. As our funding has gone down from the state funding, and also pretty much all of us had Title IID funding from the grants that were out there for a number of years, which helped us a lot. Those grants are not available anymore because of other cuts that have happened in the with the federal government. So basically now we survive by our school's pledge is how we're set up. Every spring right now at this time, we ask them if they would commit $2,800 to start out with 4 days of professional development. So it's their commitment to us that, yes, we want you to stay and be there to serve our schools. Now, this last year, we had 19 of our 21 school districts do that. They pledged. They said, yes, we want professional development to happen through the ESAs, which was fabulous. However, it is really not enough money for us to maintain a staff. We used to have 5 full-time ESA people when we were at the top of our funding. This year we can employ 1 full-time person and we contract services from another one. And I must tell you, these aren't just anyone in education. These people have been trained throughout the years with DOE. DOE has invested a lot of money in training these folks in instructional strategies, all kinds of research-based data collecting so that we can help the schools. And we want to hang on to those people. And this has happened throughout the state. The ESAs cannot hang on to their people because right now I don't know how much funding we're going to get in, so I don't know who we're going to be able to hire. Well, people need to have jobs, and that insecurity is not very nice for them. So schools have openings, and a lot of these very highly trained people have gone into the public school system, and I had a superintendent say that the ESA's training of these people were the best things that happened for schools because now they're hiring them on to be their school staffs. And not that that's a terrible thing, but it really has taken a toll on the what the ESA's, their hardcore, highly trained people are and how many. So as this year now, we get to the point where we want to hire. We have some commitments from our schools. It is not enough to hire a full-time person, the capacity we need to serve our area. But we do have some grants that have come through DOE, which has been good. We've been working on a better relationship right now than we have with South Dakota STARS. You've heard of that. The accountability system that's going into place. And the Common Core training. So we have sent our trainers and worked with DOE, and now we're going back to our districts and helping them understand this whole process. And DOE has said, you know, the ESAs are our feet on the ground. They do not have the capacity to send people out to Eureka and to Faith and to those little tiny towns with the amount of staff that they have at DOE. So it can be a very good partnership. With that being said, I am, we're hoping to have more grants, continuing grants with DOE. But if this bill goes through, then I think we would have some security that there is some money there for us to use for matching funds. If our school districts can step up and say, yes, we're going to put in this much money, then we'll be able to apply for, my understanding is how this is going to work, apply for matching grants so that we can utilize those funds to help our school districts. So I hope that you will support this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you. Dan Gerke with the Mid-Central Educational Co-op and Region 3 ESA. And I apologize. I think I may be becoming an old face in front of this committee, but and my message is somewhat consistent, however, though. And I'd like to reinforce that message. I'm handing out a handout of some work we've been doing, and you've seen this before. But as we're viewing our mission as an ESA, it's to cause change within the educational delivery system. And as I'm watching the progress of this legislative session and the way the bills are being formed and coming out, it appears that there is some interest in this session in developing a change process for education. And that's appears to be what's kind of facing all of you as representatives, is determine whether to spend the limited resources that are there to continue doing what we've been doing or to maybe invest those resources in causing some sort of a change process to take place. And from my perspective, I view this bill as being very positive in supporting a change process. Now, whether that's desirable or not, that's up to each individual to determine. From our case, we view it as a necessity. If we're going to continue to survive as a rural state, delivering the types of services that need to be delivered to our constituents, we need to do it in a way that's more effective and efficient than we have done it in the past. And that's what we're about as an ESA, and the resources that this bill would hopefully allow us to do is to develop more ways of delivering those services in a more effective and an efficient manner through the collaborative modeling that we've talked about previously, and to support that and ensure that that goes forward. Again, I appreciate your indulgence in allowing me to speak again, and a lot of the comments I've made previously stand for this particular bill as well. And I would stand by for questions, but again, I'd like to encourage your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Proponents. Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair. My name is Dennis Goodwin, and I'm the superintendent of Platt Geddes School District. A few weeks ago, I spoke in front of this committee and asking for support for SB 96 in support of in allowing for districts to integrate, a part of the integration model that we've been attempting to push forward. Of the districts that have spoken, six of them have opt-outs. This legislation would make it so that those districts have some potential funding. And going through the ESA is actually, quite honestly, is a benefit for us. It protects the rural districts even more. So from our perspective, a part of the integrated model, this is pretty much the only way that we're going to be able to make it happen. And I know that sounds like a threat type of situation. It's not meant to be. But the districts just don't have the funds to set this up. And there is a lot of duties and tasks that need to be done prior to even beginning the integrated model. And this type of legislation would help us a great deal make that happen. So going through the ESA, specifically working with Mr. Gerke, has been very positive and supportive. So I do ask that you support this legislation as well. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 76. Proponents? Are there any opponents? Opponents for Senate Bill 76. Opponents. The chair closes testimony and we move into questions. Any questions of the committee? I have one for Ms. Owens. Thanks for sharing what you do. You mentioned South Dakota STARS. We have a relatively new committee. Would you explain what that is, please?
To the best of my ability.
Sure.
My people work on that. It is the new part of the new accountability system that the state is putting into effect for keeping track of all our data, our data system. It is a grant that is coming through the state. We, as an ESA, have an agreement with them to do the work on the ground. We are being trained by them. Our people are to train the schools. Each school will have, they call them the STARS, a set of people like a curriculum person and a data person and possibly an administrator in a school. There will be a core team that will work with an ESA person, and they will be a team to learn and understand the process of moving into our online testing and then where that testing information is going to be housed and how we use that data to analyze how our children are doing achievement-wise in our state. So it's a whole new process that's happening right now, and it'll happen over a period of 3 years is what the anticipation is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions from the committee? Representative Eklund.
Yes, thank you. If you wouldn't mind, I'm just wondering, in the past year, what was the budget for ESA? Do you know offhand from the state?
Well, I did write some things down. Senator Malhar said at the beginning, it was 500, I think a half a million when it started out, and that was distributed to the ESAs. But I know then eventually went down, and we were getting, like, we had 200,000 from our Title IID grant to do our work. In 9-10, I guess that's where I kind of started back, we got 61,000 from the state, and then we received 46,000 from our districts. And then we also had some other money. We have there's a grant called South Dakota Counts. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's our math grant, statewide math grant, and that runs through our ESA as well. The next year, we got 63,000 from the state. I have down here 250,000 from Title IID, And then we had 38,000 with our pledges from our schools. And again, South Dakota counts. Then in 11-12, we went down to having nothing from the state. So 11-12, and then this last year, 13-14, we got no initial funding from the state. It was our schools. Pledges with 45,000 in 11-12, and then we had a little bit of carryover that year. And then we had two grants with the state, one on Common Core, and then starting on, I believe it was also, it wasn't called South Dakota Stars, I'm not remembering what it was, South Dakota Assessment Portal, I think that was, that grant was. So it had to do with assessment again through the state. And that was a $23,000 grant. And we still had $25,000 for Title IID. This year has kind of been our toughest year. We've had no money from the state. Common Core, we had a grant with DOE for $9,500. South Dakota Assessment Portal was $3,000. And now South Dakota Stars at the beginning was $3,500, and they've redone that so that those grants are going to be $40,000. And those grants, when they come, they're for 80 days of work, and they pay $500 a day. So that's the agreement that we have right now moving forward for the next 2 years after this year.
Is that it?
I would like another question.
Yes, you may.
Of Dennis Goodwin, didn't mind.
Can you come just identify yourself too for our internet listeners?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dennis Goodwin, Plant Gettys Superintendent.
Thank you, sir, for being here. My question, I guess, to you, I think it was you that alluded to the fact that because of all the integration that we're trying to do to be smarter in school, we would not be able to do that without ESA funding. Is that what you said?
Well, to answer the question, excuse me, Madam Chair, it'd be very challenging because most of the districts that we're talking with do not have any, in effect, cash in the bank to be able to start something up because you are going to need resources to pull people away from their current duties. Kind of the initial discussion was to have the integrated board happen, set up a superintendent, also set up a business manager style person because there's a lot of definitions that need to be put in place. I believe Representative Stevens had some great questions on that during the 96 discussion, and that's because there is so much unknowns and there's so many things that need to be set up. Having the initial funds to get that started as well as funds for training, we have teachers that are going to have to start teaching across the internet. The universities in South Dakota are starting to look at this program. They still don't have that in place, from my understanding. You also have training on the tools that will be utilized. So over the next year to 2 years, you're going to have a great deal of training for teachers and staff, as well as configuring the actual tactical aspects, not just the strategic aspects. So there'll be funds required to do that. And most of the districts are not in a position where they can just pull people or pay for somebody to come in and do those type of activities.
Yes.
So you're telling me that the ESA then is the source for that funding for this?
It would be I would look at them as being a combination, doing grants with them and try to find a way to share those expenses with our districts. When Platte Gettys consolidated, over the 3 years of the consolidation, the state contributed $600,000 to assist in the integration. Those type of funds are no longer available. And with an integrated model, we're trying to avoid that. And it's a long-term savings that benefits these districts and also the students in our area. So it'll be a lot more difficult for that to occur without assistance from Mid-Central specifically.
Okay. Representative Tyler.
For Senator Maher, please. Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, I've been following this bill all the way through, and I've seen the changes and the here's and there's and all that sort of thing. Okay, today, if you look at the bill today, it says nothing about innovation. It says nothing about, you know, how long you want this to last. It says nothing about matching grants. But all of those ideas have been talked about today. And I know where the innovation thing is coming from, but how are we going to be assured that those, first of all, are they going to be matching grants? I mean, even though it doesn't say in here, is that what you're looking at?
I would, Madam Chair, Ryan Maher, District 28, State Senator. that would be my hope and intention, and I would hope that maybe some of them, it's up, I mean, this bill is in your committee, it's up to you to amend it however you see fit now. But yes, that's what our intentions was when it left, well, in Senate Education, is to make this a matching grant opportunity to make those dollars go further. And then it came out of the committee that way, went to the Senate floor, was taken back up to the Senate committee, where it was added in again to deal with innovation and what the Platt-Getty School District is talking about. That language was all added in to be administered through the ESAs. From there, it went to the appropriations. Appropriations stripped everything out, took it back down to a dollar, and left it at just ESAs are hereby funded.
Follow up on that.
Yes, Representative Tyler.
Now, ideally, Senator, what would you like us to do? I know you want us to pass it, but
right.
Do you want amendments to say that it's matching, or do you want us to pass it on and the Appropriations Committee takes care of it?
I don't know how you guys want to proceed, but you know, the ball's in your court, I guess, today, and you guys can do with it as you please. But from a standpoint, I would like to see the language put in as it was in the first Senate committee, where that language is come backing in to allow those ESAs to take those dollars, whatever the legislature decides to give them, so they can leverage it to make those dollars go further. And then if we do need to put an innovation to match up with the other Senate bill that's going through the process, I think at some point we have to put a funding mechanism in so they can do the innovative research too. So at some point, this has all got to come together and gel, and it happens to be that both bills are your side of the house.
Other questions? I want for Senator Maher.
Sure.
The way the bill is right now, individual ESAs could do those same things, right? Of what we're talking about.
I don't see why they couldn't.
Right.
Because the autonomy is out there, and that's been in the Senate, that was some of the angst that was out there, is because you have essentially six ESA districts kind of doing their own thing, but and that also alludes to their uniqueness because our state is so diverse too, because what you're going to do in ESA 5 is not what you're going to do in the southeastern part of the state, because the school districts are different in nature.
That's what I thought that was the intention, is that it's the ability within those ESAs to use those funds the way they need to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, the flexibility of it is what's made them kind of unique and successful to date, is because your needs in Harding County and Bison might not be the same as in T or Harrisburg or Lenox, and because you have your different staffing requirements and your ability to recruit professional development and your needs are so diverse.
Thank you. Other questions? Okay, the chair closes committee questions and we move into committee discussion and or action. Representative Tyler.
I move a due pass, please. And send it to appropriations.
Okay, we just can have one of them. It has money in it, so it would need to go to appropriations.
Okay, so then I move that we send this bill to appropriations.
Okay. Refer to appropriations.
Refer to appropriations. Okay. Okay, we're getting this. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're doing better. Refer to appropriations is a motion. Is there a second?
Okay.
Representative Schaefer seconds. It been moved and seconded that we refer Senate Bill 76 to appropriations. Any comments?
Madam Chair, ESAs have been sorely missed. And, you know, if this would just get them back on their feet, this would be a really good start. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Representative Campbell.
Maybe I'm looking at this from the wrong direction, but I'm a little disturbed by Senator Maher's history of the bill regarding its recent appearance in appropriations and having everything stripped out of it. What's going to say that the same thing doesn't happen again or just doubles their workload?
Other comments? I will comment on Representative Campbell. Oftentimes in committee, what happens is it isn't necessarily Senator Maher that made the amendment. It could have been someone else that brought it forward. And as a prime sponsor, one doesn't always have control over that in that committee process, even though you're the prime sponsor. And so that isn't necessarily a reflection on on him or the direction that the bill went.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I didn't mean it to be either. I hope he didn't take it that way.
Okay, okay.
I'll hold on.
Okay. Other comments?
A minute.
Okay, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, the same sign. The motion is refer to appropriations of Senate Bill 76. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling?
Yes.
Campbell?
Nay.
Eklund?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Aye.
May? Excused. Ring?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
And Bartling?
Aye.
13 yay, 1 nay, and 1 excused.
Senate Bill 76 has been referred to appropriations. The next bill up is Senate Bill 237. House Bill 237, an act to appropriate funds for deposit into the needs-based grant fund to provide for annual funding of the need-based grant fund with a portion of the funds received from the Education Enhancement Trust Fund and to declare an emergency. Proponents for Senate Bill 237. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Education Committee. It's a privilege to be with you today. I'm Russell Olson, State Senator from Madison, South Dakota. The House prime for the bill is busy right now chairing House State Affairs, and so he asked me to be the spokesperson again this morning for Senate Bill 237. Throughout the summer, as many of you did, I had the opportunity to participate in quite a few different forums. And at these forums, and one in particular that was held on DSU's campus, a lot of students were engaged and a lot of students were involved. And they weren't necessarily looking for Republican or Democrat answers. They wanted an answer to a question that has been bothering some of them and, quite frankly, myself for a couple decades, why South Dakota doesn't have a needs-based scholarship opportunity. It was one of those ones where you write down the note and the question from the student, not knowing exactly why we don't, and you know, it always comes back to funding. And so I wanted to do some checking on it, and it turns out that there was actually an attempt to have a needs-based scholarship program established in South Dakota. And as you can see, this isn't new language. It's piggybacking on former state law that actually was part of a national program, the LEAP program, that was limited in not only financial support but scope. And so once the financial money ran out from the federal government, as many times in South Dakota, the program went away. So I piggybacked on that language and that basis for the starting point for 237. And I know that you're all aware that in South Dakota we are not supposed to pass legislation that would directly benefit us. And let me be the first to tell you that today this is no benefit to me or my family. However, if we could quantum leap back in time about 25 years ago, this certainly would have been something that I would love to have had the state of South Dakota at the time, because, you know, I am most like a lot of the students that would be eligible for this would have met that financial need category, not because my parents didn't work hard and pay their bills and were some sort of lack of planners, for that matter. We just didn't have the financial means for it when I was entering college, and it made it tough. I mean, that first year especially, weighing the daunting task of someday having to pay back all of these bills. And I, luckily for me and for my kids, I kept going forward. And so, again, hopefully they're not going to be eligible for this as well. But South Dakota is the only state in the country that doesn't have a needs-based scholarship. And taking and piggybacking off of what the governor said in his budget address, this opportunity comes right now where we have some funding that we can establish a corpus and where we could use the initial investment to start an endowment. And, Madam Chair, with your indulgence, I realize a lot of the Senate bills that are coming over that have dollars tied to them have been shagged down to a dollar. And so, if with your indulgence, if I could just use the talking points that we had on the Senate side and what we did in the Senate. Is that okay?
Please do that.
Well, the conversation that took place in the Senate was with a $5 million endowment. We could take these funds from our one-time monies that are available this year and invest those funds in our Education Enhancement Trust Fund. Keep in mind, once those go into the Education Enhancement Trust Fund, the principal can never be taken back. But we've leveraged this in a manner with the help of Matt Clark so that this funding would, and the reason for the emergency clause is it would be able to go in and co-mingle with those other investments that we have that are doing very well right now. And if we were able to put this in right now, it would give us about a $200,000 return. Competing with no other education dollars. These, as you'll see in Section 13 of the bill, it's their relative share of the investment that we put into it. So they aren't going and taking from other funds that have other earmarks at this time. It's for the relative share that we invest. When it comes out, the great part about this is we always talk about skin in the game in South Dakota putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak. But these dollars, if we were to have $200,000 as a return come out of these, and which is just a starting point, they would be leveraged on a 3-to-1 basis from the participating institution. Those are public, private, and our Regento schools. So we're not limiting anybody. This also includes the technical schools. So if you're a private, NAU, could be eligible for this if they could provide the match. The tech schools could participate in this if they can provide the match, and our Regento schools could also participate in this needs-based opportunity. This is just the beginning. It's just a toehold. I realize, Madam Chair, that nobody on this panel is going to amend this back to the $5 million mark, and I wouldn't expect you to. I would, however, ask that the continuation of the conversation go forward so that you can put it on your whiteboard discussion to see where this fits out as a funding category as far as the overall big picture needs for a needs-based program. Right now, I think that, and I'm going to be followed up by other proponents here, but I think the one thing that really sticks out, and you hear a lot of statistics thrown around, and this wasn't my original stat, but I'm going to steal it from him now. The poorest students are now nine times less likely to earn a degree than the wealthiest students. And it isn't, I want to leave you with this thought, it isn't anything that these students have done to put themselves into that income bracket. And it isn't, for the most part, anything that their parents have done. Some folks just can't afford to go to college. This isn't welfare by any means. This is not asking for a handout. I believe it's asking for a hand up. And I'd appreciate your support for this bill, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Other proponents? Fancy tie, huh?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Yes, appropriately dressed for the committee
yes.
this morning.
You're
members
welcome.
Of the committee, Jack Warner, Executive Director for the South Dakota Board of Regents, and very pleased to offer testimony as a proponent for Senate Bill 237. To begin, I'd just like to reinforce a couple of points that Senator Olson made. First, about the poor students and their progress through to be able to seek and actually earn a bachelor's degree. In 1980, the students from the lowest income quartile were about four times less likely to earn a college degree than those from the wealthiest income quartile. And that gap has grown to nine times now. The rates of growth in degree attainment in this country have been from among those with means. Those without financial means are struggling to earn college degrees. There was another study done. This one tracked eighth graders over about a 10-year period. And it looked at eighth graders whose academic achievement was in the top 20%. So the top fifth of eighth graders in terms of academic achievement were tracked over a 10-year period. Among those students who came from the highest income quartile, 76% of those students had a college degree 10 years later. if those, again, just highest academic achievers came from the lowest income quintile, in this case, only 34% had a bachelor's degree 10 years later. So here's a study that controlled for academic achievement and was based just on income. And the question I often ask is that can we as a country, this was a national study, afford to deny about 40% of the highest academic achievers the access to a college degree? So this bill will help the neediest of students. The way it would work is the original $5 million would produce, as Senator Olson indicated, $200,000 a year, and that would be able to produce 800 to 1,000 need-based scholarships ranging from $500 to $2,000 in amounts of money to be awarded. These would be awarded as what we call last dollar scholarships. So students who have financial need, and that's determined by a process that makes them eligible for the federal Pell Grant, so we're not inventing a way to determine financial need. The students with the highest degree of what we call unmet need would be the first to receive these scholarships once allocated to the institutions. So the amount of money would be allocated to institutions based on the percentage and number of Pell Grant recipients that they have. They need to agree to match it 3-to-1, so it leverages the original investment, and that produces the $500 to $2,000 range of scholarship for about 800 to 1,000 students. When we refer to this as last dollar, it means that financial aid offices would package awards against the cost of attendance. A cost of attendance at a higher education institution covers tuition, fees, books, room, and board. That's the total cost of attending an institution. You then receive, based on your need, a financial aid that goes against, that counts against that total cost of attendance. And in most every case, you only get partway there. You don't get fully funded for your total cost of attendance, and the gap between what you're receiving in financial aid and your total cost of attendance is called unmet need. So this scholarship is intended as a last dollar after other forms of aid are allocated and designed to meet to go to the students with the highest level of unmet need first. And then onward, downward, as that gap closes. So that's roughly how it works. This is a good program for our neediest students, and I would urge your approval. I'll stand by for questions, and I also have Paul Terman here with me for the most technical of financial aid questions, should you have them.
Thank you, Dr. Werner. Other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 237.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Bob Ryder. I'm a registered lobbyist for National American University. And National American University is an institute of higher education headquartered in Rapid City, but it has three campuses across the state of South Dakota and also offers educational opportunities in various other states. Many of our students are non-traditional students who work and then also obtain their education while they're working, and we believe many of them would be placed where they might be eligible for a scholarship of this nature. We think the needs-based scholarship is positive and would be a beneficial opportunity for certain of these students. And NAU, frankly, is interested in considering work as a partner with the state, because that's what this bill would require. It's not state dollars. I think, if I remember correctly, it's a 3-to-1 match, so that if there were institutions who wanted to participate, they would have to come forward with their own financial assistance for these students. So we think it's a real tremendous opportunity to provide a brighter future for many of these students whose needs, as Senator Olson and Dr. Werner have indicated in their testimony, exist. And it's a real positive bill, which we would encourage your approval of. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for House Bill or Senate Bill 237. proponents? Seeing no proponents, I open it up for opponents. Opponents to Senate Bill 237. Opponents? Opponents. The chair closes testimony and we'll move into committee questions. Representative Tulson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for whoever would like to answer it. How much, how many dollars do we have in the Enhancement Trust Fund? Would be my question.
Someone's going to take it on.
Madam Chair. Representative, $405 million is what was just whispered to me by a definitive source.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is that, and Matt Clark, our investment officer, does invest that amount, that money in that fund? Is that correct?
Madam Chair, I believe so.
Yes. Other questions? Representative Eklund?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Warner, question, how many students per year do you anticipate this scholarship would benefit? And I thought I heard between 500 to 2,000, but I'm not sure as far as per student. Would you enlighten us a little more on that, please?
Madam Chair, Representative, we think that this will produce opportunities for about 800 to 1,000 students, and the range of award would be between $500 and $2,000.
Okay. Representative Wick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for Dr. Warner, you're coming up with that because the range of scholarship or assistance would be somewhat less than what number? Or what range of help would there be for 800 to 1,000 students, dollar-wise?
Madam Chair, the range of scholarship from this program, see, the corpus would produce about $200,000 a year, matched 3-to-1, leverages about $800,000. So that produces an opportunity for 800 to 1,000 students, and the award would range from a minimum of $500 to a maximum of $2,000 to be able to leverage an amount that will make a difference.
Yes, follow-up.
Thank you, Dr. Warner. And then it would leverage that much. There was a question I had there on the so follow-up years, you're still going to be able to take care of the same, so your total number of students that might get it from year to year would be the 800 to 1,000. It wouldn't grow by that much each year then.
Madam Chair, Representative, it could grow as the corpus grows. If we take 4% a year, we shouldn't be touching the principal, but the investment strategy to be part of the larger state investment should be able to grow the principal itself. So the annual 4% taken would be 4% of a growing amount. So the intent would be to grow the corpus over time and grow at least incrementally either the number of students or the range of award.
Okay, your follow-up. Another one?
Follow-up is for somebody else.
Okay. Representative Ring.
Dr. Warner, it's great to question my former boss.
Finally, huh?
Oh, the worm turned.
No, I didn't say that. It's an honor to question my former boss. Do you see these as 1 year at a time scholarships, so the students would qualify only for 1 year at a time, as opposed, say, to something like the opportunity scholarship that's awarded on an ongoing basis as long as the students meet certain criteria?
Madam Chair, excellent question from a former faculty member. The awards would be given 1 year at a time. That's the kind of annual commitment for needs-based scholarships. Pell Grants are also awarded each year. So eligibility is determined for each successive year, and then the awards packaged in similar fashion.
Okay. Do you anticipate that absent some kind of what I'm trying to get at here is whether a student deciding whether to go to college or where to go to college would be able to count on these as as ongoing support. So absent winning the lottery by their parents or something, would they be able, do you think, count on this? So I'm considering going to college. I know I have this scholarship for my first year. Could I be fairly certain that I would qualify over the 4 or 5 or 6 years that it takes me to finish?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Hopefully, Representative, you would finish in 4, and we would encourage you to do so. That said, each year in the spring, financial aid offices evaluate any given student's need and package awards at that point in time, so students know for the coming year what their financial aid package is going to be. So it would have to be done on that basis. It would not be awarded on a multiple year basis at the front end. So, but students generally get enough notice to be able to plan for subsequent years. And again, the priority would be for students with the largest unmet needs. So as long as that pattern continued for a given student, that student would get this as part of the package.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Questions by the committee? Representative Witt, someone didn't ask your follow-up question. Is that the deal?
Right.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I could, this I think is yes. For the Senator.
Senator Olson.
And Madam Chair, if I could, thank you. What I'd like to know is a little bit of your vision. Do you expect to see private contributions going into this as well as state funds? And I've looked at what a few of the universities have done in the last few years, and actually some of the private ones have been doing it for a lot longer. But the endowments that they've established have really made a big difference in what's available. Do you see this as another source for those that are more in need and reaching out to the universities and private sector as much as you can for more dollars for this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Russell Olson, District 8 Senator from Madison. Thanks for the question, Representative Wick. And I'll tell you, my vision for this has grown throughout this process and since the summer. And I not only feel that the 3-to-1 match is going to help establish the true players from those that would like to participate, but putting their 3-to-1 match in this is again part of the skin in the game concept that I think sells this thing for other folks. But to grow this thing, I'd hate to do a to be continued for this, but I mean there are other funding sources that I'm looking at that would supplement the core investment. And again, we've worked with Matt Clark, as somebody had asked, I think it was Representative Paulson had asked about this, and that's why we put the emergency clause in there. It would usually take about 16 quarters before you could start to see that return on your investment. They're going to expedite this and help us to be 1/405th of the 405 million that are out there. And again, it goes towards leveling. My intent was to level anybody else's concerns that these funds would compete with other education funds from the Education Enhancement Trust Fund. We can't ever get that principal back out. It's only the interest. And so if we stuck this in another account, or like our cash flow account, we'd get 1.3% for our ROI, where we couple it with the Education Enhancement Trust Fund, their goal is to have a 7% ROI on those funds. And so taking only four, it still goes back to building on our principal amount. So I think that if we're able to, yet this session, come up with some other alternatives that would help supplement this, those are still, the devil is in the details, and we still aren't completely done with that. It's good enough the way it is right now, don't get me wrong, but I'm still looking for other funding sources that could go in and help make this more of a magnanimous initial gesture and give us our money so that next fall students would be able to take advantage of this. There's 16,000 Pell eligible college students in South Dakota right now. 14,000. Sorry, Jack. I just felt that look. I was off by 2,000. 14,000. And if we're going to do 800 to 1,000 as the toll hold for this, is if you want to call it a pilot program, my goal is to get it so that we're able to help out the other 13,000 as well.
Representative Eklund.
Yes, Senator Olson, thank you for being here and bringing this. My question is, the money we're taking that you are requesting is interest made off of $5 million from the Education Enhancement Fund. Is that correct? That interest now is going to somewhere. So it would be taking it from somewhere and putting it here. It has to be going. We're using it now, aren't we?
Madam Chair, correct. Yes. The 405 that's in there, if you put $5 million more in, this would only be the interest drawn off of that based on our $5 million initial investment. We're not going to, and that's my intent from the very beginning, is I didn't want to have this competing with other funds that we already have earmarked to come back to the general fund to go to education. And so it would be like having an annuity and you put another $100,000 on top of it and being able to segregate out what that $100,000 investment would be to pay for your child's down payment on a home or something like that. It's earmarking those funds. This would be the same. They'll be able to track every dollar that we put into this separately, but they'll enjoy the luxury of being commingled with all those other funds.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Follow up. To be clear then, I think I got it now, but to be clear, you're looking at the excess fund that we have at the end of the year, the $26 million, you want to take $5 million of that and put it into that, be run alongside of the Education Enhancement Fund to be used for this program. Is that describing it correctly?
Madam Chair, thank you again for the question. It's a great question. The intent, the $5 million was for conversation so far, and that's where we go back to that. I realize that having gone through this a few times, once things hit that whiteboard, the priorities may shift. Whatever dollar amount that we decide, that you and your House caucus decide as an amount that's appropriate, is what I'm looking for. Could we go for $10 million? Sure. I'm a realist, though, and I know I'm not going to hog the ball and ask for more than this program truly needs to get a good start.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Tolson and then Representative Lane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe this is a question for the Board of Regents or the math financial wizard, Mr. Terman. Thank you, Madam Chair. Being we're talking about need-based scholarships, the federal loan program for college students, could you tell us what interest rate, the subsidized rate is and the unsubsidized rate that they're paying?
Madam Chairman?
Yes. Please identify yourself for
Paul Terman with the Board of Regents Office. I believe the subsidized is right around 5.3%. I'm not sure if I know I would have to dig to figure out what the unsubsidized loan, those have changed very recently.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a statement, I had the unsubsidized, I believe, is 6.8, and I think the subsidized is 3.4, but that's why I had the question. I didn't know for sure, but maybe that's something we could find out later. Yeah.
Thank you. Representative Ring, you had another question.
Yeah, my question is for the sponsor. First, I too want to thank you for bringing this bill. For many years, I read the list in the Chronicle of Higher Education, and it was always easy to find South Dakota because we were the only one without any kind of state-sponsored scholarships, and then without need-based scholarships. But I'm curious about the funding mechanism that you have here. Now, the idea of setting up a foundation and trying to get some other contributions and that sort of thing, I think, is terrific. But we don't fund the other state scholarships through an endowment, do we? Those are appropriated directly each year. And I'm wondering about the rationale for using this foundation, this endowment mechanism for the need-based scholarships, but not for the merit-based scholarships. Again, I can see where universities, whether public or private, need an endowment to fund their scholarships, but why does the state, why does the state need to do it that way? And particularly, why do it that way for one type of scholarship and not for the other?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Ring, for the question. The intent with putting it into the, investing these funds in the Education Enhancement Trust Fund is twofold. One goes back to the ability to generate a larger return, and second is the security of that, because as I stated earlier, once you put those funds into the Education Enhancement Trust Fund, by Constitution, we can't take that back out. So something that is as important as helping our neediest students shouldn't be something that can be gamed year to year on whether or not we pass or take away from the Opportunity Scholarship or the Dakota Core Scholarship. Sometimes those wind up being political chips, and I wanted to make sure that where our neediest students were concerned, that we weren't allowing that to be part of the game.
Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Once the $5 million is in the Educational Enhancement Fund, I know we'd never do this, but would it be possible to simply change the law to use the returns from that $5 million for some other purpose?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You could, do anything once in the legislature. However, making changes to the actual Education Enhancement Trust Fund would take a change to the Constitution. This bill, the way it stands today, if we passed it, sure, you could come back in and say that we were going to redirect that. I think that would be a stretch to say that any legislature with Republican and Democrat support that this bill has had would be able to do that. But it could happen once.
Other questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, the chair closes committee questions, and we move into committee discussion and or action. And once again, we have the $1 in here. So, Representative Witt.
Move to pass.
Refer? Can we refer?
We'll refer to appropriations.
Sorry. Okay. It's been, motion is refer to appropriations by Representative Witt and seconded by Representative Eklund. Comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I can't say enough about my feeling of gratitude for what you've done, Senator Olson, because I just feel like if we can get something in an endowment trust fund type of thing like this, you can find people, you can find businesses that will contribute. It can help every business in the state to have more people that are better educated, and this can be a way for them to contribute. I just think they're the answer to kids being able to go to school in some cases, because the cost of education is going up faster than the rate of inflation. The kids, what they earn, can't come close to it. And I look at a trust fund I set up with $50,000 that grew to $250,000 in 2 years, because people felt like, no, if I can put it there and it's going to stay there, I'll put my money there. I'll give it. And then we got a farm. It's been fabulous. So I encourage you to push this on and put it on the whiteboard and make it a high priority. Thank you.
Other comments? Other comments by the committee? Representative Schaefer.
Madam Chair, I do second that. I mean, really, this is a very good opportunity, especially with people adding money to it. I think for college students, I know what it's like to be in college and not have much money, so it's a good deal. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, the motion is refer to appropriation of Senate Bill 237. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, the same sign. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling?
Aye.
Campbell?
Aye.
Eklund?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Nay.
May? Excused. Ring?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
We have 13 yay, 1 nay, and 1 excused.
Senate Bill 237 has been referred to Appropriations. I have a question for the people that are visiting us. It looks like you may be a high school class. Where are you from? Dakota Valley? Okay, welcome to House Education. Do you think we did okay on this bill?
Yes.
All right. You're all seniors. Well, that's even better. Appreciate you joining us here, and maybe we'll get some teachers out of that group that's out there or have the opportunity to go to school on a, with some additional help from the legislature. Okay, Senate Bill 138, it's been requested to have that deferred another day, so the chair is deferring that. And so that completes our calendar for today. And we will, we have several bills yet for Wednesday, so we will meet again on Wednesday morning, 7:45, and we will need to get through all of our bills because, once again, we're getting close to the end. So something to think about that we'll be talking about at one of our last days that we meet, and that is, if you have any thoughts on summer studies, there's a couple different ways that summer studies can be submitted. One of them can be through a committee, which if our whole committee would agree pretty much that we felt something was important enough to recommend a summer study, or as individuals, you can propose summer studies. And then after session is done, what we would do is those will be compiled and sent out to all the legislators, and then we would determine our priorities that we would want, and then the e-board would eventually determine summer studies. So if you have any thoughts, keep them in mind and either bring them forward or you can submit them individually, but we will have a conversation about that at some time before they end. Okay, I think that brings us to the end. Leave your binders and motion to adjourn.
So
Representative Stevens' motion, seconded by someone over here. Okay, Representative Hager. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same time. Sign, we are adjourned.